It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Happy Waiver Wednesday to all of you who celebrate.
Should I be closing my tabs here of transactions on Yahoo?
You want to talk it through? Why you spent what you spent? Why you did what you did? Let's talk about what you got and what you didn't get. Talk about your free agent offers that hit and that didn't. If you spent too much money, we'll be here to talk you down.
Your league is living under a rock if he is still available.
It's worth a flyer. It's one of those, if anybody's going to make that mistake, it's going to be me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you?
Didn't get anybody in my waivers. Said the open there, Waiver Wednesday. I didn't get anybody. I got Christian Watson for nothing. There you go.
Feel good?
No. Well, not about that. I feel good about my guillotine team. Going forward, we've had some internal growth. You know, we've done it organically. So we should be even more proud, right? Because when you do it organically, you get extra credit. Seems how some sports teams operate or act.
Yes, when you...
I did it myself.
When you draft and develop your own?
Draft and develop, yep. Rashid Shaheed, draft and develop. Look at that. Late round flyer, bam. Weekly starter. Although, actually... I don't know if he's won now because Derek Carr might be out or is going to be out. Also, it's freezing out.
It is chilly.
It's not freezing. But it was. I saw 38 on my car when I got in. Maybe that was a little low.
Let's just say if you're out today in shorts, that's fine. You're just going to be maybe identified as an shorts everyday person. Like this is the first day where shorts everyday person is like, oh, wow, shorts today, huh? Because it's chilly.
Really? It wouldn't be definitive, though.
No.
That might be a shorts everyday guy over there.
Low of 42.
Yeah.
Like that's a, we got a candidate here. This might be a shorts everyday.
Right. Versus like if it was 20 degrees and you were wearing shorts, then it's 100%. That's a shorts everyday person. But 42 might be a little bit more in the middle.
803-0550, our phone number. Okay, ready? Want to predict the next big change in the AFC East? What's it going to be?
We had two
teams make big ones yesterday, a coach and a quarterback.
Yeah. What's left? Those were the big two, I would say, that were possible. Is Mike McDaniel going to get fired? Is that
the
favorite?
Next big change?
Is Joe Brady getting let go on the bingo card? I mean, it's not for me. It would be back-to-back seasons. There's no way they're doing that.
Yeah, I certainly I thought about that driving in. That's not in the card for the year.
I shouldn't say there's no outcome. It would take what they did last week, like that bad, Allen looking like the worst quarterback in the league for like a month. And that's just not possible, I think. So no, I don't think that's on the bingo. It's not, they wouldn't want to do it even just for the look of it, right? You wouldn't want to do it back-to-back years just because...
No.
What it would look like, what it would say maybe about them, I don't know.
Then again, that's operating in a world where a coach would care what he looks like, and I don't say that as a shot at McDermott. Like, does he care? Why would he? If he feels confident, if he feels comfortable, he's always going to do what's in the best interest of the football team. I'm not sitting here telling you it's going to happen or that it should happen right now, but... If it's week 8 and he thinks, I got to do this to try and get something different, get different results, then I know it's a bigger deal than just swapping out a wide receiver or a lineman or a defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. But it is just swapping somebody for someone that thinks you think that you think can make you better.
Yeah, I think McDaniel being fired as the head coach of the Dolphins is a lot more likely. I'm not saying it is likely. I don't think it is very likely at all this season, like during the year, that they would do that. But I think that's next, right? There's no other – what's the other quarterback change in the division? There really isn't one, right? Like the Dolphins are just going to kind of try to tread water until Tua can eventually come back. And there's really nothing they could do about that even in the offseason, right? Because they just signed Tua, even if they wanted to. You could say the next change is the Jets again. If you think, hey, there's nothing that's going to change with the Dolphins, McDaniel's going to stay, status quo, the Bills aren't going to have any big major shift anywhere, the Patriots are kind of new here, so they're going to go along, then maybe it's the Jets again. Maybe it's like the Jets in the offseason hiring Belichick. Right?
If that's happening. I saw a lot of the pictures.
The Photoshop?
Yeah, the Photoshop of Belichick.
Mm.
I don't think that's happening.
I think he hates the Jets, doesn't he? Also?
Yes.
And it's not happening midseason.
The funniest thing
I
saw.
I think he hates the Jets, so I don't think he would want to ever go there.
The coach of the Jets should hate the Jets, because everybody hates the Jets. Jets fans hate the Jets.
Yes.
So the way to be the coach of the Jets is to actually actively hate them.
Yeah.
I hate this team so much.
So then maybe that does fit.
They're kind of like Mets fans, right? Like, they do love their team, but they also hate their team sometimes.
Right.
And right now, they do not hate their team.
It also could be their quarterback again, right? Like, if there's no big change in the division during the year, then is Rodgers their quarterback again next year?
That's a great question.
Because if he's not, then they're doing something else. I don't know what that's at a veteran. Their team is kind of they've tried to build it to win right now, which is I think why they're making this decision. They're firing Saleh because their whole existence is this season.
Well, they're firing Saleh because the report came out that he wanted to fire Nathaniel Hackett. Isn't that the whole thing?
And Rodgers doesn't want Hackett fired.
So Like, reading all the stories there in New York about this whole thing, Saleh did not. No, he was getting fired, of course. Like, he walked in, went to work, they had a meeting. Oh, you're fired. Oh. And Jeff Ulbrich is their interim head coach. Everybody else stays. It's just the head coach.
They're not going to fire a whole coaching staff in the middle of the year.
No, but you could fire an offensive coordinator if you thought the offense was bad.
But Rodgers is not letting them fire Hackett.
That's right. And the defensive coordinator became the head coach, so the defense is not bad. And it's not the offense's fault. Mm-hmm. So it's just this guy that has to go. He's got to go. His defenses, there are a lot of stats on his defenses since he got there. His defense has been every bit as good as a McDermott defense since he showed up, if not better. And
statistically, I think it is better.
And he's got no quarterback play. Let me ask you this. I saw one number about Saleh that I thought was interesting, that since he became the coach, no one would dispute his quarterbacks stink, right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the second worst record in the league or the worst record in the league. They've found a way to win 7 games with these horrible quarterbacks. And for a long time, it was give that team credit because they're getting it done with defense. And it's part of the reason that the expectations were so high when Rodgers showed up was, hey, this guy wins 7 games with Zach Wilson. Get him Aaron Rodgers, he's going to win 13.
All right.
Anyway, here's the number. It's about how often they cover.
Cover the spread?
Yeah, as underdogs.
Okay.
That they're second worst in the league as underdogs covering the spread. And I don't know that I believe this to be worth anything, but I saw that. It was worst in the league covering as an underdog is Carolina for multiple years.
Okay.
And we would say, well, that's a train wreck organization for a long time.
Horrible. Yep.
Until they get Andy Dalton, by the way. Are they covering spreads now? Like, you know, quarterback makes a big deal.
Right.
But that was one stat I saw pointed to. This team, you might think it overachieves, but in fact, they get beat a lot, and they don't cover the spread, and they're uncompetitive. So, no, this guy is not doing a good job. You buy that? I think it's pretty tough to buy that.
I think it's tough to buy that. It's tough to do better, right? Like, he's kind of, you mentioned, like, they win 7 games with those quarter. He's a win or two away from being Tomlin in the last 3 years, right? Just doing it, finding a way to win some of these games. I would want to know also, you know, what's the record outright against being big underdogs? Because Do you remember last year they had a couple of wins? I think it was outright wins that they shouldn't have had. They beat Houston late in the year. They beat Houston 30-6 late in the season. They beat the Bills in week one. They beat Philadelphia early on when the Eagles weren't losing to anybody. So, I don't know. I think he did a fine job. He was great defensively. And, like, to me, okay, you want to say he never had a good offense, he never had a good quarterback, he had Zach Wilson to work with, and then Rodgers looks broken, and what would you say he is supposed to do? He is the head coach. I got to find, my defense is fine. Right now it's maybe not as good as it was last year, but my defense is pretty good. It's not the reason we lost on Sunday.
No, they threw a pick six.
Pick six by Rodgers, three interceptions, short fields, and they did fine. Sam Darnold didn't do almost anything in that game for the Vikings offense. If you're Robert Saleh, your job as the head coach is to get the most out of the offense. What should you do? You should fire Nathaniel Hackett as offensive coordinator.
Yep.
That's the move. And he wasn't allowed to.
You're not allowed to do that. Right.
So his ability as head coach to get more out of the offense, he didn't have it.
Does Rodgers go on McAfee today, Pat McAfee show?
That's a good question. I don't know.
It's Wednesday, so sure, he'd go on Pat McAfee today. He's claimed, of course, he was blindsided by the news. Had no idea that Robert Saleh was going to get fired.
Isn't it also the fact about how Woody Johnson's never done this in the middle of a season?
Yeah. You know who else had never done it?
Something. It ties back to Rodgers.
Well,
of course it does.
Sure. I think it probably does. Devil's advocate. The Steelers had also never fired any coach midseason. And they did that last year with Matt Canada, right?
Yeah.
I guess these old school teams are going to have this system of beliefs, and they are ultimately going to get challenged about timelines. The Steelers used to not pay guys more than 2 years guaranteed money. And then T.J. Watt came along. It's like, all right, sorry about that. Yeah, sure, we'll do it. So Mike Babcock used to never play rookies. Lou Lamorello is who it was. Wouldn't give rookies the guaranteed max salary. And then they got who? Somebody first overall. I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Hughes, whoever it was.
Yeah.
Anyway. 803-0550 is our number. How about the...
I think it was Barzell, by the way.
Thank you, Matthew Barzell. How about the new coach bump? Chris Brown had an interesting stat on One Bills Live yesterday. The new coach bump. Since 2000, teams in the game right after they fire a coach, head coach, are 16-13. Three games over 500. Now,
teams are probably, I'm assuming, bad before they do that, aren't they?
You would think.
It's probably above
their... They all have losing records.
Yeah.
You're not firing a coach with a winning record, except for John Gruden was the only one because of off-the-field stuff.
Right.
So, okay, you've got all these teams, that's 19 games, so 19 teams have fired their coach, and then the next week they've won 16 and 13. 16 and 13. That's, to me, could that be a new coach bump is real? The Bills had the new coach bump against them, against the Chargers last year.
Yeah.
Giff Smith, right?
Yeah.
And the Chargers had lost by 60 the week before, and the Bills need a late field goal to beat them. So is there a new coach bump? Maybe. Maybe, maybe not. There's plenty of speculation that Saleh might have been popular among his defensive players, and this would be bad. But they did hire from within, so they like that guy too.
I think that might be a big reason why they made the defensive coordinator the guy, because the immediate thought every insider had about Jeff Ulbrich was that he is beloved by his players.
Yep. So
like,
new coach bump.
Had they fired Saleh and promoted Hackett to be the head coach, I mean, there could have been a mutiny, right? There could have been a mutiny inside that locker room. You want to get rid of Saleh, but you kind of need everybody to still be on board, and maybe you want that bump. I feel like Ulbrich is the guy that makes sense then for that, to not lose people. Maybe you do anyway. Because to me, like, if I'm that defense, if I'm Sauce Gardner, if I'm Quinnen Williams, maybe they'll be different. But I would be thinking, what's happening here? We're firing the head coach. When he wanted to maybe make a change at offensive coordinator, the offense is the problem again.
Yep.
They have scored the exact same amount of points as they did last year through five games with Zach Wilson. Their offense isn't different. I mean, it's different. Like, they're throwing the ball more. Their running back stinks now. But they scored the exact same amount of points as they did last year when everybody said, oh, their season was toast because Rodgers was out. It wouldn't be sitting well to me if I were a Jets defensive player watching how yesterday played out.
They're also a win on Monday away from first place in their division.
Yeah, I know.
Which is kind of funny. So they're still in it. Their season I mean, it's not like it's going terribly. If you had bet Robert...
But their season, they're only in it because the Bills have lost back-to-back games, right?
Sure. I mean, being...
They haven't done anything to make you believe that they're like some 11-win football team.
I wouldn't say they're only in it because the Bills have lost back-to-back games. I mean, is 3-3 through six games crazy to be in first place in your division? Depends on how good your division is, I guess.
It's probably... You're probably in a bad division, though, if...
Maybe.
If it's 3-3.
It's early. I mean, just in week six, they have a first-place game that's not unheard of for any division. I don't know. I also don't think the season for the Jets is really going that different than anybody thought it would. Rodgers looks like he's mostly cooked. He can pull out the occasional nice drive or nice plays, but looks generally cooked. They're relying on an offensive line that probably can't do it. They've got Garrett Wilson and other receivers that, you know, are okay. Their defense is strong again. They've also played really bad teams.
That's the thing.
And wins over the Patriots and the Titans.
Those are their two wins. Yeah.
Who else did they play?
They played the Niners in week one and got smoked.
Okay.
And then they lost to Denver.
Which
was horrible. There you go.
It's probably the Denver loss that does it. Because otherwise, they're 3-2.
Absolutely.
It's the Denver loss. How did you lose to Denver? And do you know how they lost to Denver? Their kicker missed a kick. Does it?
Well, their kicker missed a kick because they got the ball in midfield and Rodgers got 5 yards.
That's right.
With a minute
left. But their kicker missed a kick. Their kicker missed a kick that I think was probably shorter.
But that was on Rodgers.
That was shorter than the kick that was just hit against the Bills in Houston.
Yeah. But if that's us, we might be talking about Tyler Bass. We're more talking about how your quarterback that is supposed to be a star had a minute plus at midfield and got the kicker 5 yards closer.
Yeah, I know.
Like that was the problem with that game.
But
it was raining
still,
too, but
you are a missed kick. How far was the kick? It was less than 50, I think.
Was it? I'll check.
It was at the field goal range target line, which is usually, what, at worst, a 52-yarder? They usually don't give you
It was a 50-yarder.
50-yarder.
Exactly,
okay.
50 yards.
50-yarders are made with what accuracy? 75% these days? So they are a missed kick from being 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
And he got fired. Funny. You did lose to Bo Nix. I mean, that's kind of tough. The Broncos
with 60 yards.
60 yards. Well, again, good job.
I mean, that's the thing about good Saleh getting fired.
Good job,
Who's
Nathaniel
done
Hackett.
Anything against them?
Right.
I mean, the Patriots are horrible. Patriots scored 3 points. Bo Nix threw 60 yards. You had 10 points against Denver. And then they gave away a pick six against Minnesota. I mean, you held Sam Darnold, who had been looking amazing, to 14 of 31, 179 yards and a pick. You could flip it the other way. Saleh is Rodgers not throwing an interception right to Stephon Gilmore at the end of that game on Sunday, or maybe away from not being fired. Hey, how about Rodgers finish that drive? You finish that drive, your head coach is still employed.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I think.
How different is that from if the Bills don't have 12 men on the field, Ken Dorsey keeps his job another week?
Yeah.
And do they find answers and turn around?
The comparison I would want to make there is, to me, their finger was on the button, right? With Dorsey, the way the offense had looked for a month, their finger was on the button.
Woody Johnson claims his finger's been on the button for a year
and
plus.
I don't know if I want to believe, well, maybe I would believe that. I would want to say that their finger was on the button maybe all year. I mean, there is, reading Connor Hughes about this a little bit yesterday, there's maybe been tension between Rodgers and Saleh since the infamous trip to Egypt at the beginning of minicamp that Rodgers went on that Saleh was not okay with. And it sounded like Saleh kind of wanted to punish him for it. Like, you skipped practice. You're being held accountable just like anybody else was, and he maybe wasn't allowed to. And that has not sat well with Saleh. And I don't know. It probably is nonsense, but I do kind of think of the moment where Saleh went in for the hug against Rodgers, and Rodgers kind of pushed him away.
Yeah.
Like, it just, those two weren't going to coexist all year.
The Boomer Esiason clip from 2 weeks ago, do you remember that one? Where Boomer said, he talked about, they don't ever talk on the sideline. They don't ever look at each other. They don't ever engage on the sideline.
Right.
And Boomer said, if you read my body language, you'd know that I didn't respect that guy. And he said, I think that that's a quarterback that doesn't respect his coach. And 2 weeks later, the coach is fired.
Yeah. So I think the quarterback coach relationship, I think, probably played a lot into it. They were always, unless the record was really good, there was going to be a moment in the year where they were going to do it.
I would also like to defend it on some level. I don't necessarily think it's going to make them much better, if at all. But when's the time to make a change if you're a football team? This is true of the Bills. This is true of anybody. Hey, something's not right. When should we change this? Week 6 or week 15?
Yeah. Oh, no. If you know something's up, then
change
earlier
it.
The better.
Absolutely. 100%. Change it. Yeah. And it always looks like when you make a change like this, you're in disarray. because, you know, NFL teams love to sell the idea that everything is always good and harmonious and everyone's on the same page and everyone's in lockstep and all that. They love harmony. But if you're going to make a change, make it early. And, you know, good. I'm not quite good for the Jets. I hope they don't get the new coach bump. If they win, it will be chalked up as a new coach bump, unless they keep winning. And then, who knows? Maybe they'll turn it around anyway. Their defense has been great. We'll see how they do against this offense. It's a challenge for this team to really do much in the passing game. And the Jets have been very, very good at shutting down the pass. But again, the level of opponent they played, Jacoby Brissett, Bo Nix, Will Levis. That's three.
Mm-hmm.
And did I miss one really soft one in there? Purdy's not a... Oh, Darnold.
Darnold.
Who's not exactly... Whatever, he's not Josh Allen. He's had a good year. Anyway, 803-0550. Coming up at 7:30, we'll talk with Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. He had a couple really good observations from the All-22 film, Joe did, that we'll dig into. From the final drive to the design of the offense, and he referred to, like, what's the problem here with this offense? Is it the receivers, Josh Allen, Joe Brady? And he said it's all of it. Everybody shares a little bit of blame here, so it's not just as easy as the receivers stink. But we'll get to that. That's coming up at 7:30 with Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Don't miss it. So that on the offense. On the defense, he had raving about Dorian Williams and what he's seen from Dorian Williams. So that's good news, too, that there are brighter spots in Dorian Williams and Terrell Bernard. Like, you know, the Bills could easily go on a little bit of a run here, right the ship, and calm everybody down for a bit. And the question is, you know, as we look at it and as Brandon Bean looks at it, if they were to right the ship, would that be a sign, okay, let me make sure I, you know, patch up the wide receiver group or patch up this while I'm sailing well? Now's an opportunity to jump if they want. And we'll also see how quickly the Jets act for Davante Adams.
Right.
If, in fact, they're going to do that, because the Raiders say they want that to happen sooner than later. It is Wednesday. It still has not happened. So, who knows? And for the Saints, he wanted to go to the Saints. Derek Carr's going to be out multiple weeks.
Yep.
You still want to go to the Saints? Maybe not.
Their season might be over by the time he gets there.
Yeah, they don't look the same. They really don't. 803-0550 is our phone number. Good Wednesday morning. We're going to keep you updated on any news you need to know about Hurricane Milton. I mean, just, you know, keeping thoughts and prayers for people down there. Because it's...
Tonight it's supposed to make landfall?
Tonight, as Category 5. It has not weakened on any level.
No.
Yeah, I mean, really terrifying stuff down there, and the level of damage and devastation could be just hard to even fathom. But anyway, we'll push on. Talk Bills, Jets, and you know, also get you ready for the Sabres home opener, which is tomorrow. Sabres and Kings. Jeremy and Joe, you can join us at 803-0550 on
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
UGR.
My opening statement is that this is one of the most talented teams that has ever been assembled by the New York Jets. I wanted to give this team the most opportunity to win this season. I feel that we had to go in a different direction, and that's why I did that today. The change that we made today, that I made, I believe will bring new energy and positivity that will lead to more wins starting now.
Woody Johnson, owner of the Jets, as they make the move to fire head coach Robert Saleh. He does not plan on joining another team. He will be a defensive coordinator, what, next year? 2 years?
Yeah.
He could also do media. He's, you know, good, interesting.
I think he'll be a defensive coordinator
next year.
Week one of next season.
Yeah, that's probably right. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Chilly out there.
Yes.
Cold, even.
I could see my breath.
This morning, walking out?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
803-0550. The Jets make a change at coach. The Patriots make a change at quarterback. What's the next big move that comes to the AFC East? Predict it. What's the next big move? I mean, Devontae Adams might be the favorite. If we were laying it out like,
yeah, that's right,
like
that's right,
gambling lines, the number one most likely is Devontae Adams.
Yes.
Number two is a different receiver. You could try and tell me Mike McDaniels is going to get fired. You could try. And listen, Robert Saleh got fired.
Mm-hmm.
How different is Mike McDaniel? What does he do? He wins games, and his offense is great with one with a starting quarterback in.
Mm-hmm.
And his defense has not been good, and it's limiting, and they make a lot of changes. I mean, aren't the Jets kind of the mirror opposite of the Dolphins? The Jets, always good on defense. Their offense is always a mess. They're changing a million things. The Dolphins, their offense is great. Their defense is always a mess. They're changing a million things. Like they're the yin and yang of each other.
Yeah, really. The Dolphins have at least made the playoffs with McDaniel.
That's true.
They haven't won in the playoffs, but
because
they've made it.
That's because, you know, having your quarterback, starting quarterback is probably better than having a defense that's great. A starting quarterback. And again, one that's accomplished enough. I mean, Tua, again, nobody thinks he's top five, but he's good enough. So what's the next change? I mean, I guess I should open up the door to Mike McDaniel getting fired because
he's getting a lot of heat in Miami. He's getting a lot of heat. Yeah, I don't know what else. It would be another big, like Amari Cooper finding his way into the division. Are the Jets not going to do something, even if it's not Devontae Adams? I mean, I think it is going to be Devontae Adams, but you just heard the owner. The owner is all in. He thinks he has a Super Bowl roster.
Yeah.
So he is going to go all in for that. He is not worried about the future. He wants to pour it all in. Let's go. And he might think the Bills look vulnerable too, which he would be right in thinking that, I think, right now. So, like, let's go get it. And if they lose on Monday or they continue to, you know, kind of falter here leading into the trade deadline, I mean, what's their other pivot? If they're all in on this year, you don't have the card to play of firing the coach anymore. You already did that. So what's your other pivot? Your other pivot is you go make a big trade. You will make a big swing. We gotta bring in a final piece, another receiver. Maybe they add a pass rusher. But the Jets making like the biggest trade before the deadline in the league would not surprise me at all. That would be another good favorite. I do think it's going to be Adams, right? Wouldn't you think the next game he plays is going to be for the Jets? I would pick the Jets right now for him. The next game he suits up for will be in the Jets uniform.
I'm trying to think like what's second place. Is second place Adams to the Bills? Like maybe Cooper, maybe somebody else.
The Bills making a receiver trade?
Yeah, some sort of trade. I just don't see it. Are they panicked? You know, one thing about the Bills here is it's been a rough 2 weeks, and there's some national heat coming for Sean McDermott. Article in the Sporting News, the Bills have a Sean McDermott problem. Cowherd. Stephen A. Smith, like the big guns, they're out for McDermott right now. And I don't think the Bills are out for McDermott at all. I mean, I usually dismiss that out of hand like right away. The thing I wonder about with them, there's a little bit of a chicken and the egg thing going on right now, Joe. Warren Sharp broke down a bunch of stats how the Bills are inexplicably passing the ball to the outside the numbers. They're near the top of the league in downfield outside the numbers throws. And they're very bad at those. Whether you're talking about Allen missing the occasional target or the guys on the outside separating, down the field outside throws, the Bills are bad at that, and they're doing it. Now, is that because that's what teams want them to do?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take away the middle. We're going to force you to throw to the outside because we think you're bad at that. So the Bills, in taking what the defense is giving them, are throwing to the outside of the field, throwing outside the numbers to these boundary receivers that do not produce. So it's a question I'm going to bring it up with Joe Marino at 7:30. Like chicken or the egg? Like which is it? Is it the Bills are calling the wrong pass plays and passing it into weakness, or is it that teams know that's their weakness and the Bills kind of don't have a choice until they get better at it? Like whether that's Curtis Samuel on the outside or finding a way for Coleman to continue to contribute, but outside the numbers, they are brutal. This offense.
Don't you think it's probably because that's what defenses are trying to make them do.
Yes.
Because if I'm a defensive coordinator, I know that's what I want them doing. I want them throwing the ball to the perimeter receivers and trying to push the ball down the field, because I think I could cover them pretty easily.
I've got a very controversial hot takey Josh Allen take for you that I've been. Let me try this on.
All right.
If you're a defensive coordinator and you've watched him play in the last year and a half, aren't you going to say, I'll take my chances with the deep shots? This dude hasn't hit a deep shot in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that's on receiver. Diggs dropped one. Mac Hollins, I think, could have tracked and caught one. He missed Kincaid.
Yeah.
He missed Diggs. Right.
Kincaid was there. That was a touchdown.
He missed Diggs five times last year. If you're a defensive coordinator, right, would you not look at this Bills passing offense and say, you know what, let's take away the middle of the field. Let's take away or jump on the short stuff, because they do not hit the big stuff. Last year, was it in Philly, where they ran, remember they ran the tunnel screen, maybe not Philly, another game, but they were running those little tunnel screens all the time until they faked it and they tried to pop one over the top to Davis, and they missed that too. He turned the wrong way or whatever it was.
Oh, I think that was Philly.
Yeah. I've got how much of a body of work of, I know this guy has the talent, but right now, he's not hitting it.
Yeah.
And right now is a decent sample. A year? Is it 12 games of not hitting over the top? They have three completions of over 20 air yards this year. Do you know what the three plays are?
The Coleman back shoulder in week one. The Shakir play by the sideline.
Uh-huh.
And what's the third? Of 20 yards?
Air yards of 20 or more.
I don't know the third.
You basically got the right idea. What you have is a back shoulder and two broken plays.
What's the other broken play? There's another broken play, though?
There is another broken
play. Okay.
Let me pull it up for you here, because I had the list of three. Yeah. It's two off the 18 passing attempts, there are three completions. And there's a deep shot missed to MVS. Here's another deep shot missed down the sideline to Keon Coleman out of bounds. Like, you just, if you are playing the Bills, you can probably, A, bait them into throwing this, because Allen has always wanted this as part of their offense.
Yeah.
He loves to throw it deep. And, the other completion is Ty Johnson. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Dolphins. That's a broken rollout to the right. I've got two rollouts to the right that are heaves and a back shoulder or contested catch. 3 for 18 on these passes.
I'm looking at his deep ball completion percentage. In the last 2 years, it is way down. He was like 2021, he was 9th. 2022, he was 13th. Then 24th, and this year he's 21st. So he's basically bottom 10 in the league in completion percentage when he's throwing it down the field.
And you have some drops. You've got a James Cook drop in here. You've got a Stephon Diggs drop in here. So these defenses might be living a little bit dangerously. But, I mean, you might take your chances. If they throw 20 air yards on you, do you think they're going to hit it?
I would want to dare. Well, right now, I don't know. Isn't it still a receiver point, though? This last year and this year? Like, him being down in the last 2 years. Should that really be that surprising? And also, defenses playing him that way, I think, you know, I don't know. You don't have to move closer to the line of scrimmage. You know he's going to throw it to you, right? Like, that's the thing that I remember thinking about him versus Mahomes last year. And the beginning of this year, it was starting to shift. But last year, it was Mahomes' lowest average depth of target in the league, right? Lowest air yards per attempt in the league. Like, he is settling. He is taking the short stuff. He is doing design stuff around the line of scrimmage. He is not going for it all when it's not there. And Allen, more so, is still going to go for it. Now, this year it hasn't cost them in turnovers like it had last year. But that's the thing. Like, I wonder what you do. Because if I'm a defense, I know what I do. If I'm a defense, I just take away the middle of the field and I probably still keep my safeties deep, because I feel like the quarterback is still going to throw it down there. He's going to, even if it's not there, he's going to do it. I'm going to get contested catches. Maybe I'll get my chance to get an interception. And this defense has had his number.
Yep.
So, Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's where you want to live, though. You do not want to live where this is your receiving core and you're having to throw the ball to the guys on the outside.
803-0550. The Utah hockey team has won their inaugural game.
All right,
ready for your joke at the water cooler?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ready?
Are we all going to have the same one?
Yet another franchise the Sabres are looking up at? I mean, they're three games behind them, kind of, right? Like,
yeah, kind of.
A game and a half, whatever. Yeah.
The Utah Hockey Club.
The Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah.
Energy in the building, goals. Let's hope we get that on Thursday.
The owner is a young guy with like a backwards hat and everything. He's got the vibes, right?
The Utah Hockey Club.
Do you see, though, they have seats in their arena where you can't see the full ice?
That's not surprising, right? When you have a building that wasn't supposed to be for ice.
Yeah. Like, there's seats in the upper deck, I guess, where you can't see the zone closest to you.
Yikes.
You can only see the neutral zone and then the furthest zone. I'm assuming those tickets would be very cheap, though.
Cheaper. Yeah.
They should be.
The Islanders had that for a while in one of their buildings where you couldn't see
the entire
ice.
Oh, when they were in Barclays Arena or whatever?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Joe Marino, don't miss it, 7:30. Coming up with Joe Marino, and we'll talk with Sal as well. We've also got news on the Sabres. The hot dog of the day starts up again tomorrow.
We've got
some news on the food items they're going to have at the games. So excited to have that coming up later today, too. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
In the opening period of the opening game for the Utah Hockey Club in their inaugural season, Kesselring carries it across, drops one, shot, score! Dylan Gunther lights the lamp. Utah on the board first. Their first ever goal by number 11.
Utah on the board. 1-0.
Another team that's going to make the playoffs before the Sabres.
I mean, it's really...
How many more? Let's let Atlanta back in. Let them in. They'll make it. Houston, they'll make the playoffs. It's a joke.
If Houston makes the playoffs before the Sabres, put it on the bet board. I'll give you 10-1 odds. Houston.
You're picking Houston?
No. I'm giving you 10-1 odds. You get Houston, I'll give you 10-1 odds.
10-1?
You don't want to bet against the Sabres. Who does? Let's not do that. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Wednesday. It's chilly out there.
And bet on Houston.
By the way, quick 30-second rant. Because yesterday I was wrong in what day the NHL regular season began. I mentioned to you that there's no gap between the preseason and the regular season.
You thought yesterday's games were preseason.
Yes, and yeah, I was not alone. And Travis Yost posted on Twitter and asked the question, like, is it just me or does nobody know that the season started? And it cannot be. It was not just me. The imperceptible difference between the preseason, the regular season, and the NHL is hilarious. The season started with a 1:30 game on a Tuesday. Who thought... Oh, sorry, 4:30. 1:30 local time.
It was 1:30 in Seattle, right?
Yeah. Who on earth thought the first NHL game was 4:30 in Seattle?
Right.
On a Tuesday.
Also, why not have the Panthers be the first game?
You know, that's one thing the NFL's got right. Granted, they have a day of the week, but the champ starts on Thursday. Boom, season begins. How about the NHL goes for, it doesn't even have to be the champs. How about make it the Leafs? Every season, the Leafs will play first. Like the Cowboys play on Thanksgiving.
The Lions play on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Like, hey, 3 days off, and then the Leafs play and the season starts. Have all the original six play to start the season. But some sort of tent pole event, if I can use that term. Something. You just blended right from preseason, never mind the fact that two regular season games did happen in Prague the same day there were six other preseason games.
So they think that is the tent pole, right? Because they do that every year.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we start in...
In fact, they called it a tentpole. The Sabres called it a tentpole event.
We start overseas. Then you're going to see another almost week of preseason games.
That's the weird thing.
3 days of preseason games. And then the season will start on a Tuesday in Seattle.
Yeah.
What?
Tuesday... Also, was Seattle furious with that? Like, imagine being like a diehard...
A diehard Kraken fan.
But whatever.
Okay. Let's see where this sentence goes.
You're a diehard Kraken fan. Give me a moment. I know that's the funny part. But you're a diehard Kraken fan, and you're excited for the schedule to come out. You got season tickets, right? You're excited for the season. And you're like, okay, when do we open the Tuesday at 1:30? I got a request off of work?
Right.
It's not a holiday, right?
Right. Kraken Blues.
Right. If I want to go use my season tickets, I've got to call off of work. Who did that?
I don't know. 803-0550. It's Wednesday. Larry, we'll get your call on the other side. Bills Jets, give us a thought. Panic mode yet? Is this going to get everybody in a good mood if they win? We'll talk about it. Bills Jets and the new coach bump maybe for the Jets. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.